welcome to Garden Gossip, a breath of fresh air waves. Hi, what are we doing? What are we doing?
What's
mime
your name?
On the radio? This is Chris Cullen from Montecito Landscape.
And I'm Lisa Cullen.
And I'm Leanna Finley.
Hey, that's all three of us, except
that's
for Richard.
Right.
He's in hiding today, back behind the board. Well, we're Garden Gossip. We fill your garden with joy. We hope you will join us and help fill our garden with joy. We're having a rousing show today. We've got, we're as usual, we're sponsored by Montecito Landscape, creating beautiful gardens for over 40 years. We specialize in landscape design and installation, so you can call for your free home garden consultation at 969-3984. We're on again tonight at 9 and tomorrow at 11 as reruns, so don't call then. But if it's Friday morning and you're listening, feel free to call in, ask questions, join in all the fun. 564-1290 is the number. Whether you've got a spacious backyard or only a few feet of patio, you'll love our guest's new book, Gardening for Geeks. Author Christy Willemy is here today to talk about it. We'll have the Name That Plant contest, the Garden Tip of the Week, and we'll be taking your calls. You're listening to Garden Gossip. Let's get on with garden news.
Little garden news. Well, it's warm, the warming spell. Yay, it's good. It's still a little foggy down at the beach. You went down to the bluffs yesterday in the fog, but you said it was really warm.
Yeah. It's not really thick.
Yeah.
Did you see Santa Claus Lane? It was packed.
Oh,
still
yeah.
Foggy, but you can still get a tan.
Yeah, so it's not like super
cold.
Chilled.
No.
Yeah, it's nice. Love this weather. Tomato weather. Oh my gosh, cucumbers. And that means high fire warning, so be careful out there. That's what I have to say about that. And, you know, next week is the 4th of July. Wait, no, this week? Oh, well, yeah.
Next week.
Like
next Thursday,
6 days.
Yeah.
Wow, so Thursday is 4th of July. Wow, there's a parade, yeah?
Yeah.
There's fireworks.
Yeah.
At 9 o'clock down on West Beach.
It's a regular 4th of July.
It's a regular 4th.
I think a lot of people are taking
the 5th off, too, so
it'll be a nice long four-day weekend.
A nice long weekend. What else did I want to tell you? Oh, yeah, I want to tell you about the 4th of July Mission Art Sale. Fantabulous.
Oh, Romani's
Art Sale.
Oh,
yes,
wonderful.
It's annual. I don't know for how many years, it doesn't say, but every year on the 4th of July, at the corner of Pueblo and Garden, free admission. It's a great art show because they have all different types of crafts, from hats and dolls, clothing, but beautiful paintings. Remember great artist
absolutely.
That was there?
Yeah.
Every year, fabulous stuff. And it's from 10 to 5 on the 4th of July. How cool is that?
That's very cool.
And so you just got to pay attention and get there. And it's the Thursday, July 4th. On the corner of Pueblo and Garden Street, the Old Mission 4th of July art sale. Fabulous stuff. In a couple of weeks, I wanted to mention that Cal Orchid, our friends at Cal Orchid, are having a summer hummer sale. Pretty fun. I guess after 32 years, the Santa Barbara Orchid Fair has been canceled. Not the Orchid Show, but the Orchid Fair. You know, they have two orchid shows, one in the spring and one in the summer. They've canceled that one after 32 years, but Cal Orchid is having their own orchid fair over at Cal Orchid. We'll talk about that more. That's for a couple of weeks from now.
Okay.
Yeah. But I thought, since we have a guest and everything, that we should just get into Name That Plant right now. Now, I've got a very special prize for this week's Name That Plant. I have a copy of our guest's book, Gardening for Geeks. And I tell you that I really like this book. It's a really helpful...
It's a step-by-step. I mean, you can't say you couldn't do it.
It's fantastic. It's actually got... I can't even tell you. I've been reading it every night before I go to bed a little bit. And I love, love, love it. Highly recommend this book. That's what you're going to win. If you know the answer to Name That Plant. And the number to call, if it's Friday morning, is 564-1290. Now, this plant is common through all parts of the northern temperate zone in pastures, meadows, and it's so plentiful that farmers everywhere find it a troublesome weed. But what's odd is this plant does not occur in the southern hemisphere.
I take it you're doing Name That Plant.
Did I not say that? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Should we start again?
No. Let's
it's time that, for...
Name That Plant.
Okay, good. That's more like it. All right. I'm sorry. I jump the gun there, babe.
No, roll away there, baby.
But anyway, so this is the clue. 564-1290 is a number to call. It's common through all the northern temperate zone. In fact, is thought of as a weed, except it doesn't happen in the southern hemisphere. So if you go to Australia, you're not going to find this plant. It was originally came from Asia, where it was important both as medicine and a source of food. Arabian physicians used it as medicine, and it appeared in New Mexico when Spanish people brought it as a medicine and a food source. Germans brought the plant to Pennsylvania in the 1850s. It's an early spring plant, and it has many, many vitamins in it. It's very, very healthy for you. The English brought the plants to the New World to cure liver problems and other illnesses. Native Americans started using them, saw many benefits. This plant is also grown in India. Now, here's a good one. Here's for the people that have a little animal husbandry tip here. Pigs like it and goats like it, but apparently sheep and cattle do not.
Oh.
They're picky.
That's amazing.
Yes, even though it's said that if you feed your cow this fabulous plant, they will have more milk production, but apparently they don't like it that much. And you can also feed it to your rabbits. I suppose you could feed it to your chickens, too. I actually have fed it to my chickens.
And did they like it?
They loved it very much, yes. They weren't as picky as that. Now, it's a great source of potassium, calcium, phosphorus, and iron. The leaves are a richer source of vitamin A than carrots, and they have lots of vitamins B, C, and D. The young leaves make a wholesome addition, by the way, very wholesome, to spring salads, and are eaten much more in Europe than it is here, especially in France. They eat this plant, but not so much. Like although you see it at the farmer's market, it's not like something that you'd go over to most people's house and find a salad of this herb plant. But anyway,
so it's used in salads. It's a mostly a raw thing.
You can
that
also
you eat raw
if it's young
if
leaves.
It's young.
If it's
you don't
older,
want one of those old ones.
If
raw.
It's older, you're going to cook it like any other, like kale or something like that, like any other green.
Okay.
But now here's interesting. It's generally considered a stimulant, but very good in treating scurvy, gallstones, and eczema.
I hate it when I get screwed.
I know.
So tell me, here's the all-important question. What did Pliny have to say
about
it?
Pliny didn't have much to say about this one.
Really?
Yeah, then no ancient
He's been
Rome
lagging.
Or Greece.
We got a lag in Pliny on
it. I would imagine there's a lot in Roman times. But I will tell you that the name comes from the French and refers to the jagged edges of the leaf.
Okay.
Now, the French have a different name, but the French call it something else. And what's weird is...
So that's a clue that's so confusing,
forget
no
about
one
it.
Can figure it
but
out.
But the weird thing is, the French name for this plant, when translated into English, means wet the bed.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, those French, you know? I'm not surprised.
And it's also great for bees. So if you have it in your garden, you're gonna attract bees with it. So this is just a crazy one I know. 564-1290 is a number to call. But while you're contemplating that, Leanna has... the Way to Happiness segment, and take it away, Leanna.
Well, it's be industrious.
Okay. I like it.
Before your long 4-day weekend
next
week.
Like
you might as well.
Yeah. Like B-E-E?
Work now.
Like bees? Like bees are industrious?
Well, bees are industrious, but this is more B-E.
Oh, got it.
Be industrious. Unless you feel you're a bee.
I think we better be industrious for that 4-day weekend. Otherwise, we're going to go into apathy. We've got to do something big now.
Be very industrious this week. Work is not always pleasant, but few are unhappier than those who lead a purposeless, idle, and bored existence. Children gloom to their mothers when they have nothing to do. Sorrow itself can be eased by simply getting busy at something. Morale is boosted to high highs by accomplishment. In fact, it can be demonstrated that production is the basis of morale. Mm. People who are not industrious dump the workload on those around them, and they tend to burden one. So, the way to happiness is a high road when it includes industriousness that leads to tangible production.
Fabulous.
Thank you for that, Leanna. It's time for a break. Stay tuned. Coming up, the founder of Garden Nerds, Christy Willemme, talking about her new book, Gardening for Geeks. You're listening to Garden Gossip on AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Won't you meet me in the garden? Won't you meet me? Won't you meet me in the garden? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
In the garden.
Won't you meet me? Won't you meet me in the garden?
The garden.
Won't you meet me? Won't you meet me in the garden? Won't you meet me? Won't you meet me in the garden? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Santa Barbara.
Welcome back to Garden Gossip with Chris and Lisa Cullen of Montecito Landscape and the ever-perky Leanna Finley. We come to you live every Friday morning at 11, and we're rebroadcast Fridays at 9 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 11, and we're streaming live on your mobile device at newspress.com, and you can download past shows at montecitolandscape.com. Garden Gossip is brought to you by AgriTurf on Las Positas and Modoc. AgriTurf has everything your garden needs, including organic solutions to any garden problem. And AgriTurf's trained professionals can answer any of your garden questions. So give them a call and see if they really can answer those questions. 569-2257. 569-2257. AgriTurf. Give them a call. Our guests, Christy Wilhelmy, founder of Garden Nerds, the ultimate resource for gardeners, has published a new book, Gardening for Geeks. Welcome to Garden Gossip, Christy.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Oh, good. Nice to see you. Hey, well, this is Lisa you're speaking with. It's nice to... I looked all about your website. I've been reading your book. And by the way, I love, love, love the book.
Oh, thank you.
I really do, because I find it's... simple, it's easy, and it has so much, it's so packed full of information, everything from biodynamics to, you know, don't eat GMO to, cages, and it's really fantastic. But I have a question. What is a garden geek?
That's a good question. Well, you know, my company is named Garden Nerd, and then I was asked to write this book called Gardening for Geeks, and really, there's a lot of overlap, and basically a gardening geek is someone who wants to know everything about the subject and likes to know why something is happening and what, you know, why, because we do all of these things, but we don't always know why we do them. We just know we're supposed to.
I get it. Okay, and I get it, and I can't say enough how much I recommend the book, because it does that. I see what you're saying now. It has... why certain things happen. I mean, I can't recommend it highly enough.
It's user friendly.
No.
It's really, really good, because it's user friendly. It's in, plus I like the way it's organized into the little chapters. You can look through and say, oh yeah, I want to find out about staking. And I love your little diagnostic chart in the back where it says yes, no. That's one of the most clever things I've seen, really.
The flow chart, yeah. My husband's a geek himself, and he's like, you can't have a geeky book without a flow chart. That's such a great idea.
It is a good idea, and it's really good. Now, I also went on your website, Garden Nerd, and I realized it's Garden Nerd singular.
That's correct. .com,
right?
Yes.
And that has a lot of good information. In fact, there's the recurring theme. What's a garden nerd? Is it basically a geek with a different name or what?
Well, Garden Nerd came first, and it was sort of the idea that, again, wanting to know everything about the subject, but being completely devoted to it and not being ashamed of the fact that everything, like, you know, every subject falls eventually back to gardening.
I get it. Oh yeah. Hey, we're on your page on that. I get it. And
yeah.
You know, one thing I liked about one thing I noticed on the website was this trap that you mentioned about how to trap ants and aphids. Do you remember that on there? That was pretty cool.
You're talking about trap crops. Using plants as ways of kind of corralling bugs in all one place, so they don't infest your other things.
Well, it said something about a trap that had vinegar and sugar and a gallon jug and.
Oh yeah. So that's the funnel with the So you can you can certainly buy things like that, but yeah, you make a container with a funnel or put vinegar in it. It attracts them. But there are a lot of ways you can do that at home. I have a friend that has figured out how to trap earwigs, you know, the pincher bugs.
Oh, yeah.
And she puts out a small dish of olive oil, and they go in there, and they die there, and she finds them, this little dish she puts out full of earwigs
really?
In a couple of days.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that. Oh, I'm going to write that one down. Okay, so earwigs and olive oil. Any other like fun little things like that for various pests?
Beer and beer for snails and slugs,
ooh.
Which I think a lot of people are familiar with. But if you take a shallow dish or a pie pan and bury it up to the soil level with, you know, so it's just level with the soil, and you fill it with beer, they go in, they drink it, they die happy.
Really?
Yeah,
well,
you do have to refresh the beer often, but I think it's worth it.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Of course, I go around and pick all the snails and feed them to my chickens. They love
That's
snails.
So funny. My chickens will not eat the snails. It's really weird. Picky chickens.
God, mine love it. I go out and I harvest like a gallon of them, and I just throw them in there, and they go wild.
Are you feeding the chickens the snails out of the pie tin full of beer?
No. Actually, you know, we have very few snails, in fact, because we have opossums, and opossums are natural predators of snails.
Really?
So it helps kind of balance things out around here.
Now, you don't have pet possums.
No. But they find their way into our garden.
I see. And they don't see, you don't seem to have other troubles with them, like them digging up your beds and stuff?
They occasionally will dig in for grubs, but the grubs we feed to the chickens, so... Mm-hmm. There aren't too many grubs around.
Oh, very good. Well, okay, so this is good. Now, one thing you mentioned in your book, I really can't recommend this book enough. It is, I will keep it by my bedside. I literally have been reading it every night. But
have mentioned, thank you.
Yeah, I really mean it. One of the things that you mentioned was there are some common mistakes that first-time gardeners can make. And I just wondered, and you said that there are ways that these things could be avoided. So I was wondering, what were those common mistakes? That piques my curiosity.
Sure. The first thing is you only need one zucchini plant.
Good point.
Right? We've all done it, right?
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Go and you get a six-pack, and then you plant them all, and you have way too much zucchini. So.
And unless you have chickens, well, you're in trouble, yeah.
Right. So that's a big one. And a lot of people will plant more than more than they actually can eat all the time. But that's one. And some of the other mistakes I think are like with staking tomatoes. You gotta have a sturdy tomato cage, and the little stick kind of works sometimes. But if you want a foolproof system using a tomato cage, sturdy and. You know, going to last year after year is a really good idea.
That is a good idea. That's
a little
just
stick. Yeah. You should see Lisa's most recent. It looks like a teepee.
Yeah,
you know, you go
it's
to
like about 100 feet tall. These
really?
Long poles.
Yeah, that's because I
don't
had to
know
use...
how we're going to pick those.
All
tomatoes.
She needs is the cloth to wrap around. She's got a teepee and that little tomato plant down inside there. But those things are growing by leaps and bounds.
I know they are.
Have you noticed?
It's great. I know.
I think they feel like they've got a lot to live up to.
What else? What are some of the other common first-timer mistakes?
First-timer mistakes. I think, there's so many, and it's not just in food gardening. I'm trying to stick to just the food gardening stuff.
You can talk about anything, really. We're all over the...
I think, you know, there's a common mistake where people will go to the nursery and buy a whole bunch of stuff because their eyes are bigger than their gardens. And then, you know, they come home and they set them down and they never end up planting them.
Oh, that's a good point. So, yeah, we find that a lot. I'm sure you do find the discarded, the dead plants on the side of the garage.
Yeah. Yeah. So I read something at one point where someone made a New Year's resolution to dig a hole before they go to the nursery.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
I think that's a good idea for everyone.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people will, another mistake people make is, they'll plant things, well, I plant things biointensively, so I'm purposefully planting things too close together, but not too close together, just closely together. So some people will plant things too close together and not give them enough room to grow. But, you know, it just depends on your garden.
Sure.
I tend to find people who till their soil too often or too much.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, soil biology, soil is alive. As much as the plants growing in them, soil is alive. And when you run a tiller through soil, it pulverizes a lot of the soil biology and
right.
breaks up the structure. Yeah. So for people who are starting new gardens, I say, okay, fine. If you've got really clay soil, use a tiller. But after that, use a shovel
yeah.
and do it by hand, because you don't want to destroy all that hard work you put into building up really good structurally in sound, you know, biology-intense soil.
Exactly. I've heard that definitely don't get into the rototilling business.
Right.
Because you're gonna ruin all that fabulous stuff that's been going on under there. You know, you mentioned something. How long do we have to go for a break?
Now.
We're going to go for a break now. But when we come back, you mentioned something I wanted to ask you about, which was you said you plant biointensively. And I noticed that in your book, you mentioned that quite a bit. And I kind of want to find out what that means as opposed to non-biointensively. You see what I mean?
So let's talk
about that when we come back from the break, okay?
All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Garden Gossip.
In the garden we planted a lot, cucumbers and lettuce, berries and shallots, weeding and watering all summer long. In the garden in my backyard.
Funny thing about a garden, beauty lives within its gates. Bugs and thorns and weeds, they grow there.
Welcome back to Garden Gossip with Chris and Lisa Cullen of Montecito Landscape and the ever perky Leanna Finley. Garden Gossip is brought to you by Toma Restaurant and Bar at the former location of Emilio's at the beach at 324 West Cabrillo Boulevard. Yes, Toma is now open nightly for dinner. Call Toma for reservations, 962-0777. Or just go on in there and get seated at the bar or at a table and say hi to everybody from Garden Gossip.
That's right.
So, today we're talking with Christy Wilhelmi about her new book and about specifically we wanted to take up this deal about biointensive gardening.
Is that it, Christy?
That's right, biointensive methods of gardening.
Yeah,
there are
find out
many
about
ways
that.
Of doing things. Yeah, sure. So I talk about four different methods of biointensive gardening in Gardening for Geeks. And the overall idea is growing a lot of stuff in a little bit of space and doing it sustainably. So you look at our agricultural world and we have fields and fields and fields of one thing, that's a monoculture, and there's no diversity there. And there are rows and rows and rows for tractors to drive through and all of that. And biointensive gardening works on a smaller scale. It can be used for large-scale farming, but mostly it appeals to people who have a little garden, a small space. And so you're taking out your pathways, basically, and putting your beds together. So you're growing in, say, a 4x4 square foot bed, like Mel Bartholomew talks about in Square Foot Gardening, or in 5 foot wide beds, like John Jevons talks about in Grow Biointensive, his book and his work up at Ecology Action in Northern California. And the idea is by growing plants either, you know, in grids or hexagonally planted in offset rows, you can fit more plants in than you ordinarily would by planting them in one long row,
one after the other. I see. Like a
staggered
row, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're not leaving space between them. It's kind of like the penguins in the South Pole. They cluster together to form a little microclimate, and that helps protect the plants and help them thrive. And so what the other benefits are, as they grow, the shoulders touch on the plants, which blocks out the sun from the soil below, which means you lose less water to evaporation, no weeds grow.
That's right.
And you don't have to water as often. So it's pretty cool. You reduce the amount of work you have to do over the season as opposed to having to go out there every day and pull and hoe and, you know, all of that stuff, and water a lot.
That's good. So can you grow just about anything in the biointensive method?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I grow a lot of different varieties in my garden, and I will dedicate a section. So I divide things by plant families. So I'll keep my brassicas together, my broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, kale, kohlrabi, Brussels sprouts, etc., in one area so that when I need to rotate it to a different bed, it's easier to do than having it kind of scattered around the garden willy-nilly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so I will plant all of those things together, and you know, but I'll have five different varieties of each growing.
Yeah,
and so I can get a lot of stuff in there. I like to grow five different varieties of kale because I'm a kale. I love kale. I was going to say addict, but
kalefine.
Yeah, so having all of that stuff. You asked about growing a whole lot of different varieties. The answer is yes. You can grow a lot of things.
That's great.
And really there isn't anything except for fruit trees that you need to give more room to.
Sure. That makes sense. And of course, certain things like corn, you need to plant them really close together so they get the pollination action.
Exactly, yeah. I find a lot of that's another first-timer's mistake that people make. They'll plant one long row of corn wonder why they never got any because the pollination happens by the wind. And so if you, of course, have a cluster, then your chances of having the pollen drop down to the silks is a lot higher.
That's amazing about corn, how each little corn was because a piece of pollen got on that silk and made it down all the way. Ah, that's just amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing, isn't it? Nature is fascinating
it's
that way.
It's crazy. Now, so the biointensive method, one thing you mentioned in your book is, I don't know if this is a different kind of biointensive, is the double digging that you recommend to do in order to have proper, am I missing something on that, in order to have proper biointensive?
Correct. Right. So the French intensive gardening method is a biointensive method.
Okay.
And they started doing the idea of double digging, which is conditioning the soil to a depth of 24 inches. And basically you take the top 12 inches out, you add compost and loosen it and work it into the bottom 12 inches, and then you replace the top 12 inches.
Right.
And that way,
that's the ideal scene there.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's a lot of root space for roots to go down and pull nutrients from deeper in the soil, so you'll have sturdier, stronger, healthier plants.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that John Jevons carries on into Grow Biointensive. So it's one of those things that I've done it partially in some parts of my garden, but if you have really clay soil, it's a really good idea to do it. I have mostly sandy soil, so I don't really utilize double digging as often.
Right. You don't need to. You've got a nice, you just have to mix in a bunch of,
compost
and stuff like that.
Right. And that helps support the idea of planting more in a smaller space.
Sure. Sure. I definitely could deal with a little double digging with the soil where we have. But
you've got that doggone chicken wire.
Oh, I know. Well, you have to.
You can't dig. It's just
crazy. I know.
Crazy.
It's
crazy. I rather trap the gophers. By the way, Christy, do you have a surefire way to get rid of gophers?
Well, in my community garden, we trap them. That is the surest fire way.
Yeah, I know. That's what Lisa's been doing. She's obsessed lately with trapping the gophers.
Yeah, definitely.
We trap them. We also have cats. So the cats do a lot of the work for us.
Really?
And the other thing you can do is we put up hawk perches. So the hawks sit down and hang out in the garden for a while. We have them in three or four places throughout the garden. And they're up high. They're up on a 20-foot pole or so. And so the hawks hang out, and they watch for rats. We have rats, and we have gophers. And they come do a lot of work for us, which is nice.
And we have a lot of hawks around.
Yeah,
we
do.
We are.
I think we don't. We have unequal balance of ground squirrels and gophers.
Our hawks are pretty lazy. You know, they kind of hang out in the
They don't have to look
trees.
Very hard.
No,
for anything.
Between
they just
the bunnies.
Drop down occasionally. Grab whatever. There's so many things.
There's a lot of stuff to eat.
Yeah.
If you have any friends who have gopher snakes. you can always bring them over and drop them down the hole for a while.
Yeah, we had a gopher snake a week or so ago.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, I love them. We used to have one that was hanging around. I haven't seen him in a few years.
No, he was out by, remember when we cleaned out that area where all those
He was over there?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, that's where he should be. There's plenty of rats.
Yeah, everyone's always so interested in eradicating the natural, you know, fauna, flora and fauna around their garden, but it actually is part of your ecosystem. So if there's a way to find a way to work with it.
Yeah. I'm not so sure gophers are part of my ecosystem, though.
I know.
I mean, they literally, just in the last few weeks, have literally taken out a whole row, my first row of beans. I mean, I'm not going to have anything left if they get their way, you know.
That's not fair, yeah.
I wouldn't mind if they shared, but they're not very good at sharing.
We do raised beds with hardware cloth on the bottom to protect anything from getting up in there.
That's really the best way if you can get raised beds. Now, on your raised beds, are your raised beds 24 inches? Are your beds 24 inches deep?
No, they're 12 inches deep. Mm-hmm. Now, on the beds, I have a couple that don't have gopher wire or chicken wire or hardware cloth on the bottom. So I've done a kind of a cheat with the double digging. I've dug 12 inches and then put the bed on top of it that's 12 inches and filled it with soil.
I see.
Oh, there you go.
That's what I did with my raised bed.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
I dug deep and put cinder block around the top.
Oh, that's a good idea.
All righty. Yeah. Well, it's time for a break. Yeah, believe it or not.
Oh, my.
So we're going to have more with Christy Wilhelmi when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Garden Gossip on AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Tomatoes up in the morning, out in the garden. Get you a ripe one, don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a big homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
I need some garden talk to get me through the day. Because it's raining outside, I cannot work today. So if I cannot garden, I'll listen to a garden show. I'll tune into Garden Gossip on my radio.
Welcome back to Garden Gossip with Chris and Lisa Cullen of Montecito Landscape and the ever perky Leanna Finley. Garden Gossip is brought to you by AgriTurf on Las Positas and Modoc. AgriTurf has everything your garden needs, including organic solutions to any garden problem. And AgriTurf's trained professionals can answer any of your garden questions, so give them a call. AgriTurf, 569-2257. Well, we're back with Christy Wilhelmi. We're talking about her new book, Gardening for Geeks.
And I want to find out, you know, one thing I'd like to talk about. We were talking about raised beds. You talk about mounding. What is it? What did you call it here? Wait a minute. It's right here in the back of your book. What do you call it? Naturally raised beds. How does that work?
Yeah, the act of double digging actually, you know, because you're adding a lot of compost, actually raises the soil and you're loosening it. So what you end up with is a bit of a raised bed. And so you can slope the sides down and flatten it across the top, and so you end up with actually more growing area, surface area, than you had with it as a flat bed. Because you can plant on those sloped sides.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
So is that just you build it? How do you just build it by building up soil or just by the process of double digging?
Yeah, you're just building up soil. Through the process of double digging, you're increasing the height of the soil, that it's loosened, and the, you know, space between the particles becomes greater, and so everything is a little taller. And by adding compost, you're adding more surface, you know, adding more to the soil, so it builds up. You end up with between a 4 and 6 inch kind of raised bed, mounded bed.
Right, exactly. Good. I like that. Oh, do we have somebody with a question? Oh, we have somebody with a question on the phone here. Let's see who's on the call. Well, who is it? Judy?
Hi, this is Judy.
Oh, Judy. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, no, I did. Well, one thing I wanted to say, that instead of putting down chicken wire, I use aviary wire because the little gophers can get through the holes in the chicken wire.
Right. That's right.
You have to use half inch.
Yeah, you have to use half inch.
You need a little smaller.
And also,
I like the hardware cloth because then it's more durable too.
Yeah.
What else, Judy?
I have some of that too. Well, I wanted to say how excited I am that Chris and Lisa have their column in the coastal view. It's really fantastic. I look forward to that. And just quickly, another thing is, and I mentioned this before, but we'd really like to have a volunteer come to the Friendship Center in Montecito. I used to run a little garden club there when I worked there.
Yeah, that's how we met.
They have raised beds that are waist high, so, you know, you don't have to bend over. And, of course, the Friendship Center buys all the soil and the plants and anything you need. And you might have, you know, 3, 4, 5 members in there. And they try to have it once a week, but whenever somebody could do it, it'd be really nice if somebody would like to volunteer to go down there and do that.
Oh, to get that garden club going again at the Friendship Center. That's a great idea.
And meet some really nice people. You know, the members are great, and they like to talk about gardening. One woman talked about, you know, when she grew up on a farm and she and her sister did the kitchen garden. And they like to talk about the gardening and their memories of when they gardened in their own homes. And anyway, if somebody would like to volunteer for that, you just
a great idea.
To the Friendship Center. It's in the phone book in Montecito right across from the All Saints Church.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
They can call us, too. Call 969-3984. Tell us you want to join up with the Friendship Center, and we'll put you in touch.
Absolutely.
Oh, great. That would be wonderful. And also, I'm really enjoying the show today. I mean, I'm getting a lot of information, and I can't wait to get the book. Where do I buy the book?
Oh, yeah. Where do we get the book, Christy?
You can go to gardeningforgeeksbook.com, and that will tell you everywhere that you can get it. And if you're a brick-and-mortar store supporter, you can, get it from wherever your local bookstore is or ask them to order it for you.
It's really good, Judy. I can tell you.
Well, you've been raving about it so much that I really want to get it.
Yeah, you really do. You really do, because it's something that you will use, like, all the time and refer back to it. You know, it's simple enough. That's what I like about it. It's a simple resource that gives you...
Well, it sounds like it's going to answer questions we need answering. I mean, reasons and things. So I will look forward to getting that book. And
now, you could also win the Name That Plant contest,
well,
Judy.
I was hoping I would today, and I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
Okay, I'm going to give you a clue. The root can be dried and made into a drink that's used as a coffee substitute. Ding, 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 ding. Do you have an answer on that?
Doesn't register with me.
Okay.
How about giving away a book next week, too?
Well, if I don't give away this book this week, it'll go be up for grabs next week.
Okay. Well, that sounds great, but I'm looking forward. I'll be glad to buy the book. It sounds wonderful.
All right, Judy.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's good. You know, one thing, Christy, are you still there?
I am.
You talk in your book a lot about composting and about how everybody should be composting. And I have to admit, I'm sort of a lazy composter. I haven't necessarily mastered the technology involved in composting.
Well,
at least
it doesn't waste at all.
Well, that's true because we have chickens.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. The chickens eat everything.
She cooks exactly the amount of food that they need to eat. She picks it out of the garden, and there's zero waste. I think it takes about a month to fill up a kitchen trash can.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but can you give me any tips for, like, I know the thing about making sure that it gets to be a certain temperature so it kills the weeds, and is there some simple way of doing that?
Most people at home are doing what's called cold composting, and it's a bit of a misnomer because cold compost still gets hot. It just doesn't get hot enough to kill weed seeds and diseases and things like that.
Right.
So what I tell my clients is, you know, anything that's diseased, if you've got blight or powdery mildew or anything that, you know, isn't really great, put it in your green bin. Let the city compost it because they are getting up to they're getting up to 160 degrees. Now, at home, if you do have a bin that's at least 3 by 3 by 3 feet, then you have the volume available, you know, the size is available to actually build a pile that can get up to 160 degrees if you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to do it is to build it all at once.
Ah.
So rather than adding over time, you're shredding all your, you know, if you're doing a big pruning session in your yard, you're shredding all of that or cutting it up and chopping it into small pieces. And, you know, some people don't even do that. But I'm a geek, so I do. Because the more you chop something up, the more surface area it has. And so there's more food available for the fungus and bacteria to work on.
I get it.
Yeah. So I've taken a course with Elaine Weber, who is a protege of Dr. Elaine Ingham, who's up in North
Carolina. I know who that is. soil food web.
Exactly, soil food web, and she's now with Rodale. And
I didn't know that.
She has a formula that I share in the book for building an active batch thermal compost pile. And it's, you know, a certain ratio of browns to greens, and then high nitrogen things like your chicken manure and other greens that are like alfalfa, if you're growing a cover crop of alfalfa or something like that. Those are high nitrogen crops.
Mm-hmm.
And when you add all of that together, the temperature shoots up right away after you build it, and then you turn it after it peaks and starts to come down, and then it peaks again, and you come down and you turn it again, and then you start. That's when you get to the point where you're killing weed seeds. And
I see.
And so, but for the rest of us, for the most part, you know, if home composting is reducing waste and putting it back into your garden from where it came in the first place, which is perfectly great, you know.
But basically, it's not going to kill the weed seeds and stuff. But I get you answered my question. It's basically you have to build it all at once. Of course, that makes perfect sense. I always keep adding.
We have the three bins.
I know we do.
We could break it down and then just do the last one and heat it. But
That's what we should do.
But
we can, though.
We just use it as a dump.
We call it feeding the rats.
There's everything from palm fronds whole.
No. Not in my three little bins.
No, but in the
bins.
One behind it.
Oh, in the one behind it. Oh, gosh.
Well, it's time for a break.
Wait, hold on, Christy.
Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back. You're listening to Garden Gossip on AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Dirt's what I dig. I like poking around with a big old twig. I like making mud pies and getting all messy.
Welcome back to Garden Gossip with Chris and Lisa Cullen of Montecito Landscape and the ever-perky Leanna Finley. Garden Gossip is brought to you by Montecito Landscape, so you should call for your free home garden consultation, 969-3984.
That's right, and that's toward the end of the show, but Christy, are you there? Christy Willemme?
Yes.
All right. Did I butcher your name?
Wilhelmy.
Wilhelmy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, we've been talking to Christy Wilhelmy about Gardening for Geeks. It's a great book. I highly recommend it. Because it's one of those you're going to go back to over and over. I highly recommend it. It's got everything. Really, just opened the book and talks about bats, everything you need to know. But where can people get your book?
You can get it online. Go to gardeningforgeeksbook.com, and there's a buy page where you can see all the places to buy it. And or go to your brick and mortar store and request it there.
Okay, good. You could probably get it on Amazon, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Amazon, good. Barnes and Noble, all of those places.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's very highly recommended. And of course, if anybody will win the contest, you will win a copy of this book. I realize I didn't spend much time plugging the contest. I apologize, but we'll do that. For sure, we'll do that next week. We have so many books to give away. But thank you so much. And gardennerd.com is your website, which, again, is a really great resource. I enjoy that tremendously, so I highly recommend that as well.
Oh, thank you. And there's just one N in Garden Nerd for those
who... One N, right, Garden Nerd. And there's somebody on the line there, Richard. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And unless this call is a question for her, let's see who that is. Maybe it's somebody for the contest. But anyway, it's very nice to meet you. And let me just see. We got a caller here. Let me see if they have a question for you, or if not, we'll just go right into. Does this person have a question?
No, he has a guess. For
a guess for name that plant. Hold on, Christy.
Oh.
Who is this on the line? Agris.
Agris, yes. I'm calling about the contest.
Okay.
Is it chicory?
Ooh, no, it's not. But that's a really good guess.
Yeah, okay.
Gosh, I know. Get that with the guess about the root being made into a drink.
Yeah,
as a coffee substitute. Yes, chicory is one of those, but it is not chicory. But I tell you, it's really similar to chicory. It looks like chicory, kind of acts like chicory. I guess you could maybe call it chicory, but it's not.
I'm not well enough with it. Okay.
Thank you. All right. Okay, well, thanks again, Christy, for being on the show. Hopefully we'll
Thanks
talk again.
Me.
No problem. You know, next week we're going to be talking with succulent expert Deborah Lee Baldwin. And the tip of the week is it's hot this week, so make sure that you get out there and don't water in the heat of the day. Don't water your plants if they're wilted from the sun, because they're so stressed out they won't be able to absorb the water.
Water the soil.
Water the soil.
Don't water the plant.
Yeah, and water the soil in the early morning or in the evening, never in the middle of the day, because the plant actually will not be able to recover and use that's my tip of the week.
Okay, well, thank you.
Until next week.
Fill your garden with joy.